Welcome to our special weekend show, Sunday Uncensored. Every week, we produce four uncensored episodes of the TimCast IRL podcast exclusively at TimCast.com, and we're going to bring you the most important for our weekend show. If you want to check out more segments just like this, become a member at TimCast.com. Now, enjoy the show. So, in Florida, they canceled a Pride parade because the government made it illegal to have sex shows for children. And a bunch of Democrats are like, this is an outrage! An outrage, I say! So, like, there's the story. I mean, this literally happened. Ron DeSantis was like, it's now illegal to have sex shows for kids. And they went, oh, I guess we gotta cancel Pride parades now.
Wood chipper go burr.
What the fuck were they showing? Were they planning on showing kids?
You're not wrong.
Yeah, true that.
Yeah, so I did a video a while back saying, like, basically these people are just, they have to be pedophiles. Like, this journalist was defending pedophiles. I make a video criticizing pedophiles. They write an article accusing me of being anti-LGBTQ. And I'm like, the fuck are you talking about? Mm-hmm. So you're saying that when I say pedophiles are bad, it's an attack on the LGBTQ community? So you're basically saying pedophiles are LGBTQ?
Yeah, they're affiliating.
And I can only say if they're defending pedos, they must be one.
Remember, guys, if saying that you should leave kids alone is an attack on a certain community, that certain community deserves to be attacked.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if saying leave kids alone is beyond the pale, then the problem is not you telling people to leave kids alone. The problem is the people saying, hey, you're telling me that I can't express myself.
Well, right. Sorry, you go.
Oh, this is something that I talked about a few years ago, and I kind of was like, all right, so you got the LGB community, which is now LGBT, and now they're adding stuff. If they want to do their own thing and have their own rights and do things to each other, all right, I understand that. But it's kind of on them to police their own.
Yes.
Just like in the gun community, I say a lot of things that pisses people off because I try to, you know, say the truth, and people don't like hearing the truth very often. So when there's a bad firearms instructor out there or a bro vet, you know, veteran who says that civilians shouldn't own guns, I call that person out. And I expect the gun community to police their own a little bit.
Yes.
But I also expect the LGB community to police their own as well. And I had people like, oh, no, like, no, it's not just us that are, you know, like pedophiles or whatever. And I'm like, I understand that, but you need to, like, keep those people out then. Otherwise, you will be, to some extent, guilty by association.
I can only imagine that there are, you know, people who are identified with this community who are like, no, please stop. Like, we did not get a committee together and vote on this being allowed as some sort of sexual orientation. But instead, it's like, well, we just have to push for these broader and broader boundaries and make everything more ambiguous and dangerous in this, under this guise of like, if you don't, you're not tolerant, you're not accepting. And that must be terrible to have your identity hijacked like that.
The problem is in the theoretical papers in queer theory, like, pedophilia is part of queer theory.
Yep.
They make exception for it. They say that it is that no one is actually innocent and that it is bad to prevent children from being exposed to sexuality and stuff. There is not a significant argument against it according to the queer theorists. They say that there is no legitimate argument against it. They talk about things like Judith Butler talks about things like intergenerational relationships, which is just, you know, another way of saying, you know, relationships with from adults to children. It's part of the queer theory, and so it doesn't go away. The LGBT community may not be able to get rid of it.
Yeah.
Because it's written into their philosophy and their thought process.
Like it was hijacked.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was supposed to be love is love.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then, like, just as long as I've always known about it as a kid, I've known that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it pissed me off as a kid because they were like, it's about love. And then I'd be like, then why is there a mannequin giving a blowjob in the window of that store? But that's really what they were doing. So on North Halsted, where my family owned a coffee shop, there's a clothing store and the mannequin's blowing the other mannequin.
Mm.
Like their mannequins are anatomically correct and they're all having sex with each other. That's not about love. And there's a bathhouse right there too. That's new though. I wasn't there when I was, when my family owned the business. And it's literally, everybody knows what goes on in there. You know what goes on in the bathhouse? They're doing cocaine poppers and they're having sex with each other and they're giving them, they're all getting a bunch of STDs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, everybody knows. I just, it's crazy to me that it's
This shit's I also don't feel like people know what love is anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, this even goes back to the conversation earlier. I mean, I think a lot of people just don't understand relationships for husbands and wives. I mean, I get crap for the relationship I have with my wife, where we're both very independent. She works, I work. We both do a lot of stuff together, and I help her with things. She helps me with stuff. And people are like, no, that's wrong. She can't be independent and have her own life, and she's supposed to, you know, gender roles and all that.
Super
and
I'm like, trad coming after you.
And I'm like, no, I married someone like her on purpose. This is the kind of woman I wanted, because I want us to both build each other up. Like, this isn't some weird power structure like relationship. Like, yeah, I'm the head, but like, we can have a respectful relationship with each other. And I just feel like a lot of people don't understand love, especially if they're, you know, the whole love is love thing. Do they really know what they're talking about?
Snapchat had a sticker or whatever. It said, love has no age. Do you remember that?
It's gross. Jesus. It's so gross. I think the thing is people have...
confused
love and sex and lust. Like, they think it's all the same thing, and it's really not. Obviously, some of those things have components in other, but like, you like love for someone, like the reason you married your wife isn't just because you think she's beautiful, right? Like, there is so much more to it. And I think that is one of the reasons that people have a hard time determining what relationships to commit to and when to walk away from relationships, which is really sad, to be honest, because you are constantly getting mixed signals because you don't know how to read the signals.
Right. Or even just the idea, if someone, you know, every time there's almost every time there's a school shooting, there's a story of kids getting up and putting themselves in the, like, charging the gunman and getting killed. And I'm like, well, that person's more loving than most of the people, you know, talking about it, because they're willing to sacrifice themselves for other people. Yeah. Like, that's a part of love that no one ever wants to talk about. They just want to talk about the lust part.
Yeah. The inability to distinguish between from lust to love, I think is that is an epidemic in society. People don't realize that. Yep. Like, love is not, I mean, sure, there's like, you have all the lusting feelings when you're in a real relationship and stuff like that. But like, the love isn't about that kind of stuff. It's more of a trusting, you know, kind of thing. And I think that most people don't trust their significant other. So I feel like most people aren't actually in love.
Yeah. I don't think we know how to build trust between people, because we're such a low trust society. Yeah. I also think that people crave love and they confuse it with just attention. And therefore, like, that's why you get so many girls who are like, well, I really need, maybe not thinking it consciously, but subconsciously, they need attention. And they know that basically presenting themselves sexually will get it, because people, again, confuse lust with sexual desire and with love and everything like that. So it becomes this obvious pipeline for, like, I have a void I need to fill, and this is how I think I'm going to get it filled, because you can't distinguish the feelings and you don't know how to value them.
And I think that a lot of people nowadays, they don't, because the value on marriage has been significantly decreased, I guess is a way to say it. I don't think that people date with intention. I think they're dating just to date and to spend time with someone else, not really looking to have a partner in the future. And I mean, I just recently started dating someone pretty seriously. And it's like, we talked before we got serious, like, look, I'm dating with intention. I'm not looking to just date. You know, it's like, there's a reason that we're dating, you know.
There was a really funny post from earlier where it was a tweet from this woman, and she goes, just bought a guy dinner, had sex with him, and then got him an Uber home. Let's see how men like it. And it's when I first saw that tweet, I didn't understand. I was like, well, that was nice. Oh.
Well, that was nice.
She's saying, I bought a guy dinner, banged him, and got him a ride home. I was like, well, that's very nice. Oh, she was doing it to be mean to him. But they really don't understand, guys.
So. Don't understand.
Also, like, let's see how he likes it while she's like, but is he going to call me? I bought him dinner.
Yeah,
like,
right?
Yeah.
Get it together, team.
She's like, and your car's waiting for you. He goes, oh, wow, thanks. Well, it's nice seeing you.
Yeah. She's like, wait.
I actually saw a version of that where it's like, it's that picture for a few seconds, and then there's a quick clip of a dude just like skulking into the Uber with a big old smile on his face, like, you know,
I'm out.
See ya. Thanks.
Yeah, but I think feminism does all that.
It does.
Feminism gave men everything they could have asked for and more.
Absolutely.
Thank goodness.
Men sitting around playing video games all day. The women are all liberated, so they'll have sex with whoever. The guys don't got to do any work for it. Holy shit.
Doesn't Andrew Schultz have a bit about this? He was like, No, you guys don't understand. Feminists, I agree with you. You guys want to work? Great.
Yeah,
you guys want to sleep around? Do it. You guys want to not wear shirts? Excellent. It's like I went to a women's live rally and said, like, come on, guys, get down here. Like, this is what we wanted.
Can you believe what's going on around here? Yeah, I can't really even funny. Believe it.
Yeah.
But for real, though, women are working, so guys are working less.
Yeah.
Women are sexually liberated, so guys can bang whenever they want. And men have no responsibility towards the women. So it's like... Yeah. Oh, thanks.
And
taking your shirts off. That's what they were
saying. Men have definitely gotten softer. That's a fact.
Absolutely. I mean, well,
because they don't have to fight for it anymore.
Nope.
It used to be like,
it had to be good.
A woman would look at two guys and she'd crack a pool stick in half, throw it on the ground and be like, let's go. And then the guys would be like, fuck it. Now she's just like, I'll bang have her. And it's like, I'll go first, you go second, or you want a rock, paper, scissors for it?
Oh, God.
I like that at all.
I mean, very unpleasant. It makes me think of that couple, or not couple, the group of people in that polyamorous relationship.
The big fat chick.
That one large girl with a pink shirt and three Gorlock. Just like... Yeah, and four girl. Dudes just nice. That were just the most pencil neck geek, like unimpressive specimens of humanity that you could possibly imagine. And it's amazing that people are that satisfied being like an option for someone that is just not a catch at
they're,
all.
They're, I think their brains are broken.
I think they have like...
No, because the overwhelming majority of people, even without traditions, are... relatively monogamous, not doing these things, but people who are suffering from trauma, anxiety, mental illness, and depression are doing these aberrant things.
Mm-hmm. I think that relationship is like one person who has found three people who have extremely low self-esteem, right?
Yeah.
And like
Garlock the Destroyer,
right? Jesus. And you wouldn't want that for your partner, right? You want them to feel confident and whatever else, and like that's why that dynamic is so sad all around. It's just kind of manipulative and cruel.
Yeah.
I think one of the challenges with any relationship, like you touched on this, is that you have to build trust. And we really struggle to do that now, especially as things become sort of more false and more gray area. And you can present one face online and it can be different somewhere else. Serge, you're interrupting my deep intellectual point while you're through your giggling.
I can see what Tim's Googling.
So Gorlock the Destroyer. I think they should have gone with Gorlock the Destroyer. With the Gorlock.
So it's a meme.
I was thinking Jabba the Hutt.
It's a meme from the Whatever podcast.
Yeah.
And it says, been enjoying this podcast. Great takes from Ashley, Rachel, Gorlock the Destroyer, and Tiffany. And Gorlock is just this massive woman. But she didn't look mean. What she's saying, Nancy thinks, I'm not going to rag on her just because she looks goofy. You know what I mean?
She definitely looks goofy.
Well, but you know, is she a nice
person?
A little
out of place. Out of place.
Not particularly.
I'm just like, I watched the episode. Bad person.
I understand the joke about calling her Gorlock the Destroyer. She is not an attractive woman. But all that really means is she's not going to get a date. But if she's a good person with good views and good opinions, like I'm not gonna be mean to her.
You know that's I hear it's a 5-hour episode of the Whatever podcast. So.
Yeah. Well, they're all 5 hours.
Are they all really?
Yeah.
Okay. Hours? I thought they were.
Like, but he does it like twice a week, I think.
Wow.
So he casts these women to come and talk, and then you know.
Do they get to make paper cranes while they talk?
I guess. But there's Game Boys on the table.
Oh man.
That's and they amazing. Have those. They have those cups from the 80s or whatever.
The wave.
How fun.
I'm gonna stop. I can say whatever right. I want. It's the thing.
The thing is that makes her particularly unsavory. Think probably if she's trans.
I mean,
she's trans.
It says it in the chat right
what?
There.
What?
Yeah, I believe so.
It's a guy.
Hazmat.
So like, it's literally a dude.
Yeah, I believe.
Oh my god.
I can't decide if this all just got better or worse.
It got much better. It got better.
It's so much better.
The tweet's got 12 million views.
Yeah.
12 million.
I don't feel so bad about
Ashley Rachel Gorlock the Destroyer.
At Gorlock.
Gorlock.
Bro.
Yeah, dang.
Oh, here.
Hi, I'm Kiko. I'm 23. I go to UCSB and I also bartend.
That's why I said Java.
Hi, I'm Kiko. I'm 23.
Oh, that's it.
Wow. Oh, the internet is great.
It is undefeated.
Yeah, I actually want to hear what the person sounds like, though. So he got a guy
I believe
to get
so.
In there. Look at these women just staring at him. She does not. She looks.
They don't look impressed.
She's leaning away. Can you see that? She's like kind of slightly leaning away.
Yeah, it's well, I mean, it's like sitting on the plane. You know, someone a lot larger next to you.
That's awkward because they can actually go back and see how many women they typically fit at that table.
Were we talking about something serious before we?
Oh, sure.
Is that what the show is for? Seriously?
It's hard to tell sometimes. I was just saying before, like, maybe this is a good example, that we live in a society where we can't always trust what we see, and so therefore it becomes extremely difficult to cultivate trust. So, like, mm-hmm. you're saying people mm-hmm. are like, you should have your wife, I don't know what, at yeah. home or doing whatever, and, like, I know from the opposite side of it, like, I would, like, ideally find someone who would, like, would be happy to stay home, good times, but... The challenge for women is that you have to find a man you can trust, who you mm-hmm. believe will try their hardest to work hard, that you guys will have a partnership that is equally empowering, even if you don't do the exact same things, and that you ultimately build a unit mm-hmm. together. And that is challenging. The example I bring up all the time is, like, you're at, like, if you guys want to have kids, your wife has to become pregnant. Pregnancy is an incredibly vulnerable time for women. Not mm-hmm. only typically is it harder to work, but also, like, you literally... Yeah. Squish all of your organs to produce a life. It's not that you shouldn't do these things, but it is, like, you would only want to do that with someone who you can really count on. And again, we live in a society that people don't cultivate clear communication, and yeah. we don't know what's coming next, and everything is transient. You don't know if it'll be forever. It's just, I can understand the fear around these things. I don't think the answer is, like, polyamory or, you know, sort of these solutions that ultimately create more heartache.
Yeah, it was funny because the thing that people didn't like is we have a personal chef to buy us time so she doesn't have to cook. And people did not like that because she's supposed to cook. She's supposed to be in the kitchen. And we were like, oh, we're going to outsource it.
But that's not, like, actually true. Like, there are tons of, no, I'm being serious. Like, there are tons of examples of, like, traditional culture or whatever where, oh, yeah. like, they have a cook. She doesn't actually do all the cooking herself. She just manages the household.
Lucas, you should always reply to that with shut up, poor. That's it. Just don't even entertain it. Like, don't even entertain that.
There was on our pop culture show, Pop Culture Crisis, mm-hmm. there was a guy who would super chat in pretty regularly. And I think I don't remember his username. I wish he did. He was a goldsmith from the Austin area, I think. And he was like, oh, yeah, I have a personal chef who, like, meal preps for me. And then I have a house cleaner. Like, I make money. My time's worth doing other things. Like, outsource. Great. Excellent.
Eliminate
good for you,
friction.
Sir.
It removes stress. We can have a better relationship when I come home from work. There's already meals in the fridge. We throw them in the oven. She doesn't have to then work after coming back or whatever. It's better for the marriage.
But yeah, you know, when I saw that Crowder stuff, I got offended because, you know, here's Crowder telling his wife to get in the kitchen and be wifey. And I'm like, well, what's wrong with that? Right? Crowder's certainly justified in telling his wife. I'm just kidding.
I wish that's what he's been saying. That was it does not seem like it.
No, but that's actually, he says that. He says you should be a better wife and do wifely things. And then he told her apparently to, like, put on gloves and give the dogs their medicine. But she didn't want to do it because she was worried that
the pregnancy
hands.
And whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know what's true and what's not true. The stories sound bad. So that's
okay. I will say this, and this was evident even just talking to somebody, getting feedback from my followers about my relationship with my wife. Is there are situations we kind of talked about earlier where men are lazy because of the feministic, you know, the culture and all that. There should be some responsibility on the man to like free up stress and stuff off of the wife. So, like, if she's pregnant and she can't do five different things, well, maybe the husband can either hire someone and spend some of his money that he wants to spend on fancy cars or whatever to help her get help or whatever, or he needs to get up off the couch and do some stuff.
Yep.
And not just put everything on the wife. Cause I mean, yeah, if she's pregnant, that's, like, the most important thing she can do. And so, like, more guys need to jump in and do stuff.
You're just supposed to be a team, you know?
Yeah, right. Men, your job is to take care of your wife and your significant other.
Not be a lazy slob.
You don't get to sit there and be like, ooh, I'm in charge and I'm the head of the household, blah, 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 and then not take care. Like, part of
being
a leader.
He's smoking a cigar, too.
Who?
Crowder.
The optics are getting worse and worse.
That's horrid.
It's not a good look.
Look, if you're in charge, the first thing you have is responsibility to take care of the people that you're in charge of. That's the first rule of being a leader.
Get them the resources
you
they need.
Have to. Exactly. You have to take care of the people that you're leading. You have to take care of the people you're in charge of. Like, it's a responsibility. The best thing in the world is to be not in charge so that way you can give the best answer. I don't fucking know. That's the best answer. I don't know. Palms up, dude. Not my job. Someone else's job. I don't know. I don't know the answer. That's the best answer in the fucking world.
Hey.
But guess what? The guy in charge never gets to fucking say that.
It's always his fault.
That's right.
Always his fault. Hey, at least he wasn't playing a video game or watching TV. That would have been.
What was he doing?
He was just sitting there outside. Just sitting there, weird, cigar. Though. Well, probably because he doesn't want to smoke inside.
Yeah.
Smoking again, next to his pregnant wife.
I just don't like these videos where it's just like, imagine if you guys ever played GTA? You play GTA, right? Yeah. Here's what you do. When you're playing GTA, you have the character hit a guy, and then he starts chasing you, right?
Right.
Because you hit him. You call 911 on your phone.
And you go, this guy's chasing me.
No. The cops will pull up, and then you stand there, and the guy will punch you, and the cops will kill him.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So if the cops in GTA see a guy hit you, they attack the guy. So you start the fight, you call 911, and then they kill the guy.
It's not entrapment, basically. It works. Yeah.
So that's why I'm like, I see these videos, and I'm like, I don't know why she's out there. For all we know, and I'm not saying it's true, I'm just saying, consider, she walked up to him, and she said, you are a fucking scumbag, Steven. You're a piece of shit garbage. I'll never onto anything. I love you so much. And he's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
We just don't know the full context. We don't know why he's out there, why not she's out there. Not that I'm excusing him. I know. Yeah. I know.
And even if, like, I think you're right that it totally, we just don't know. It's so hard to speculate. But, like, the fact that that was, like, his reaction, like, even if she baited him into it, like.
She got him then.
It's hard, though. Mm-hmm. Like, because that means that she knew he would react that way.
Yep.
And, like,
honestly,
I don't know.
As someone who does PR and branding, all he needs to do is release a video and apologize for, like, from what you saw is this, and yeah, I'm not perfect. I'm a human, and I make mistakes, and we're going through a thing.
It's a deep fake. He should be like, never happened.
It's AI-generated.
Yeah, AI-generated video.
I would never have a Ring camera in my home.
Yeah,
this could not be us.
Yeah.
He could literally just drop that video.
Wife,
so
not
we,
even pregnant.
We got screwed over on a situation. We had American-made product that was getting smuggled across the border to be made in Mexico, and we found out there were tags in the product that said made in Mexico that weren't ripped off. So we talked about it. We were like, we're going to go public. We're going to tell people exactly what happened. We're going to offer refunds on everything.
What was it?
What was
just
what?
Was it soft goods?
It was plate carrier textiles. And after that video, our sales skyrocketed. Wow. We were honest with people.
Right.
We told people what was happening.
Let's go to callers. Let's pull in some callers and have them ask us some very important questions.
Okie doke. Pull up my Discord here.
Oh, it's Discord.
Yeah. So that way the quality's there.
I'm surprised y'all haven't been kicked off of there yet.
We just started it, and we're, you know, trying to find alternatives. So
don't give Discord ideas.
Yep.
Okie doke. Mance, you're going to be up first. How are you?
Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
All right. I got a question for the guests.
Okay.
All right. So if states are going to take gun rights into their own hand, what do you think will happen if the Fed decided to actually take serious gun control action and enforce sweeping gun reform similar to the assault weapons ban like the 90s? And what do you see happening if the government decided to do a weapons ban on AR-15-like guns, forcing to get a tax stamp on all future gun purchases?
So what I think would happen... One, I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. Firearms are now, can actually be argued. We're probably getting close to them being argued as common use. There's so many that are that people are, you know, have that they just can't ban them. If the government, say, wanted to force it somehow anyway, I think we would start seeing governors, and it wouldn't happen in all 50 states, who would say, and actually already started a couple years ago, we are a 2A sanctuary state. And then it would be a face off between state government and federal. Where the state would then go, FBI has no jurisdiction here. ATF has no jurisdiction here. And you'd have governors like Kemp in Georgia or like our governor in Tennessee doing this. Now, the question is, would there actually be face-offs? And then I kind of alluded to it on the show earlier. This all boils down to the federal government having control over FFLs. As long as the government gets to control who can sell guns and who firearms manufacturers can sell guns to, they effectively control the arms trade. And I actually think that's the bigger issue. If the government bans guns, the real question is just going to be, how are FFLs going to be affected by it? Are firearms manufacturers, so we have a few in our state, Beretta's in our state, is Beretta just going to go, we're just going to sell guns to Tennessee citizens, we're going to say, screw the federal government, and we're just going to do our own thing. But the good news is, I'm not super concerned about an assault weapons ban. They've kind of tabled that. They kind of bring it up every year. Someone brings it up. And it's funny because Democrats will say, shut up, we can't do it. Don't, you know, we're not going to worry about this. But it really would come down to a state's rights issue. And with the way things have been going with the Supreme Court kind of pushing stuff back to the state, I think the question then would be, you know, when can that whole system get torn down and states can decide how guns are sold in state? But I'm not too concerned
Well, I mean, FFLs, I mean, Waco, everyone at Waco had an FFL, and you see what happened there, so.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think that it's going to turn into a states' rights issue, which I'm looking forward to, because I would love more states to jump in and boot the federal government out of their state and say that they're going
to
do it.
Oh, so sorry to interrupt, but Dylan Mulvaney did put out a video.
Yeah, okay, that's what
it's
I was
not
wondering.
That one, though.
Okay.
It's a different one.
Interesting.
Yeah, so but apparently Dylan Mulvaney called for the arrest. Matt Walsh says Dylan Mulvaney calls for the arrest of people calling him a dude.
Good grief.
Reasonable.
Whatever.
Can I ask, is there a state that whose gun laws you think are like leading the country? Like, is there a state that's doing it right?
As long as the federal government has say no. I mean, a lot of the states like Tennessee and a few others, they're all about the same. Kind of the ones that allow have constitutional carry. Like in Tennessee, SBRs technically are legal. We can manufacture suppressors and sell them in state and not, it's perfectly legal. But the federal government says, well, we're not going to recognize that. So we're still going to put people in prison who have illegal SBRs that didn't pay the tax stamp. You manufactured suppressors and sold them in state. There was a trial in Kansas over the same thing about 3 years ago. And I think the federal government basically rolled him up, even though in the state he was legal for selling and manufacturing a suppressor. So this really does boil down to a states' rights issue. And a lot of the states like Tennessee and some of the other ones, they're all kind of about the same.
There's not like a leader of the pack.
They're not really. As long as the government can basically veto everything and say, well, we control the FFLs and who gets to sell guns. We control the NFA and who can have suppressors. It doesn't really matter what the state can do until the state says, hey, we're going to start up our own gun manufacturing, selling business in our state.
I don't know if you guys finished the question.
It's about as finished as I can do it. I wish I had the full answer.
Sorry, I got a notification about the Dylan thing with Matt Walsh. I was reading, but was that satisfactory, good sir?
It was pretty satisfactory. Also, I had to take down all my Bush Light flags, and it's pretty Bush Light heavy here.
Right on. Cool, man. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Yeah, thank you.
True, bro. Let's get Mr. Shiny Cadillac. In the chat, I don't know if you wanted to show that to him. Do you want to? Probably not.
Show what?
The video of whatever her name is or his name.
Oh,
is.
Dylan.
Whoa, you made a mistake.
I was checking
to see if Dylan had put out a new video since the controversy, and Dylan did.
Right.
And it's like, I think it's some kind of response. I mean, should we play it?
I mean, we can very easily.
Let me see if I can pull it up.
I don't even know if I want to watch it. It's been like four weeks,
right? That was like a pretty month-long social media. Do you ever have to give advice? You said you do.
Of being a human. And I'm going to try to leave gender out of this since that's how we found ourselves here. I've been offline for a few weeks, and a lot has been said about me, some of which is so far from my truth that I was hearing my name, and I didn't even know who they were talking about sometimes. It's a very disassociative feeling.
Sure.
And it was so loud that I didn't even feel part of the conversation.
Good.
So I decided to take the back seat and just let them tucker themselves out.
I ain't getting tired.
But then I remembered that nearly 13 million people at some point enjoyed me enough to hit the follow button on these apps. And I was like, wait. I want to talk to those people. So hi. Ugh. Long time no talk. How are you? You might want to grab a beverage. This is going to be a longer one. I'm doing okay. And I'm trying this new thing where I don't pressure myself to share anything before I'm ready. And I'm actually sitting with my emotions, you know, not reacting, waiting to respond. And shockingly, I can't recommend it more. Therapy is paying off here, people. But I do have some thoughts to share with you. So I've been having crazy deja vu because I'm an adult, I'm 26. And throughout childhood, I was called too feminine and over the top. And here I am now being called all those same things, but this time it's from other adults. And if they're going to accuse me of anything, it should be that I'm a theater person and that I'm camp, but this is just my personality and it always has been.
Yeah.
Yeah, narcissistic, psychopathic, etc. Most
is that I grew up in a conservative family and I'm extremely privileged because they still love me very much. And I grew up in the church.
They don't love
and
you.
And I still have my faith, which I am really trying to hold on to right now.
Seamus is spinning in his airplane seat.
You know, even the people that make it really, really hard. And I think it's okay to be frustrated with someone or confused. But what I'm struggling to understand is the need to dehumanize and to be cruel.
Oh, Dylan's questioning himself now? Right. Why he's dehumanizing and being so cruel?
Dehumanization has never fixed anything in history ever. And, you know, I'm embarrassed to even tell you this, but I was nervous that you were going to start believing those things that they were saying about me since it is so loud. But I'm just going to go ahead and trust that the people who know me and my heart won't listen to that noise. What I'm interested in is getting back to making people laugh.
There it is.
And to never stop learning. And going forward, laugh. I want to share parts of myself on here that have nothing I don't to do see with parts. My identity. And I'm hoping those parts.
Dylan's whole bit is to insult and it's a menstrual show
and to those
of women and trans people.
Of you who support me laugh at it. To see my humanity, even if you don't fully understand or relate to me. Thank you. And I don't know if reincarnation is a thing, but in my next life, I would love to be someone non-confrontational and uncontroversial. God, that sounds nice. The good news is that the people pleaser in me has nearly died because there's clearly no.
Okay, I'm not playing the rest, but I do want to point out.
Is that a TikTok video? That's long for a TikTok.
Yeah, 3 minutes.
Yeah. Just like
I agree with those trans YouTubers who have said that Dylan Mulvaney is lying about taking estrogen because there's videos where Dylan's wearing like a sports bra with small like chest bumps. I don't want to call them boobs, but here you can see that Dylan is not wearing whatever fake prosthetic or whatever it is he normally wears. So there are some trans YouTubers who are like, Dylan is clearly not taking, I mean, look at the face even too. It looks like so what I was told is the facial surgery was very light so that Dylan could easily detransition. No facial hair removal, which is the easiest and cheapest thing to do.
Right.
Dylan still has a beard, meaning at any point, Dylan could be a lot,
go back.
Just instantly be a guy again. Like the transition is not real. And now you can tell Dylan must be wearing like some kind of fake boob thing.
Can you transition back and still be considered trans? Can you be D-trans, like, as a woman, that I'm now a real woman, I can now go be a real man?
We should just go back to callers.
None of it's all
no,
real.
I kind of wish we didn't play that video.
It's kind of my fault for bringing it up, guys. I apologize. Let's go to, it says something about...
it's pretty textbook PR, damage control.
I guess Murder Bert Glurts? Murder Bert Gloats? Yeah.
What's going on, brother?
Can y'all hear me?
Hi.
Yeah, what's up?
Hey, everyone. I'm honored to have made the cut tonight. So, my question is, with Tennessee becoming a front in the culture war and recent events showing weakness of the governor and some other conservatives changing their tone on red flag laws, and I feel like we should highlight those in positions that are still upholding the values in the face of all the scrutiny, which leads me to ask, have you guys seen Glenn Jacobs, the former wrestler Kane, from the WWE, his mayor of Knox County's profile on Twitter recently had a video up yesterday, and it was pushing back against all this false flag propaganda.
False flag propaganda?
Mm. Oh, crap. Sorry. Sorry, I'm a little nervous.
Red flag.
Yeah. Oh, red flag.
Freudian slip.
No, you're good.
He's Glenn's a pretty libertarian guy, if I understand correctly. He's pretty good on most things that I've heard and seen, but I don't have an extensive knowledge of his policies and stuff. But if I understand correctly, he has been endorsed by the Libertarian Party, which is generally a good thing.
Yeah, I feel like I only hear about him through, oh, did you see what he's posting on social media? Like, he is an interesting study in the sense that I think his team is really using the internet to reach people and connect, which, you know, especially, you know, being from a smaller area, it's interesting that they're feeling empowered to do that, or they feel like it's worth investing in, I should say. But I don't know a ton about him.
No. Yeah.
Well, just as a quick follow-up, would you guys happen to be interested in possibly having him on if the connection could be made?
I don't know. I accept Cassandra.
Sure, yeah.
She handles all the booking.
Yeah, I imagine put him in touch with Cassandra Fairbanks.
Yeah.
Cassandra McDonald.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. my apologies.
I feel like I say all three names now.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
that's how I met her, but then like...
Exactly.
I love that she changed her name.
Became
nice
familiar
and
drad. With the old name.
It's at Cassandra Rules on Twitter.
There you go. My apologies, Cassandra.
All right, got you.
Right on,
thank
man.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thanks for calling in.
Thank you. All right, wait, what's going on here? There we go. All right, Papa Dan, what's going on?
Not a ton, guys. Good evening, good evening. Questions for Mr. Botkin. So many people have told me that 300 Blackout is basically a meme round and should never have been popular ever. And that 77 grain out of a 10.5-inch to 14-inch barrel is perfectly fine, ballistically speaking. I'm hoping you can settle that debate for me.
You look like you're in pain.
All right, let me tell you the gun that's next to my bed in my house to protect myself and my wife and all my animals. I have a Sig MCX with a Surefire suppressor chambered in 300 Blackout with subsonic Hornady 200 grain ammunition. And I shoot that gun very well, and I prefer to have that as my main gun than any other. Although I have guns all over in drawers and stuff. 300 Blackout is a great round if you're going to suppress it. It's not bad if you don't suppress it, but I would recommend it if you are wanting to run a dedicated suppressed rifle. Your friends are wrong. They don't know what they're talking about. You should get what makes you happy, and it just so happens what makes you happy is also really good.
You know what makes me happy? I got a 357 Winchester repeater, and it's just so much fun. This is my favorite.
Imagine if that had a suppressor on it. Red dot, you know, laser, light, just tactical.
It's a cowboy gun. It's just fun.
You should see what cowboy guns look like nowadays. Dude, they're badass.
I got that right there.
Yeah. You can put a laser on that. And the sword if you want to get real brutal.
Now, yeah, I got an actual model 1862 Civil War rifled musket right there.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's never even been dry fired. It's real. They manufactured 10,000, but never actually sent them out. The war ended.
No shit, huh?
Yeah. So I got it at an antique store. It's real.
Oh wow.
Yeah, yeah. Legit. Actually, from the Civil War. Crazy.
Yeah. Nope. Get the 300 Blackout. It'll be expensive to shoot, but they're great.
Well, any more questions? Any follow up?
No. Copy that. I thank you for the settling of that debate.
Meme round.
I appreciate you guys. Have a great evening.
Have a good one, man. Thanks for calling in.
Likewise.
Not that the 77 grain is bad.
No, it's good. That's good.
The Blackout's better.
All right.
I got to show you the armory.
Oh, yeah.
I would love to see
the armory. Last but not least, Young Gramps. What's good?
Good evening. How are y'all doing?
Doing well. Thank you.
All right. My question is mainly to Lucas. Due to my job, I'm moving around every 6 months for the next year-ish, a little bit longer. Is there anything that you would recommend to like start prepping or getting ready if shit hits the fan?
As far as you're moving
for chickens,
work. So you're moving for work, so you're not at home, or you're about to move to a new location and stay there. I guess I'm confused as to your parameters.
So I move to a different location every 6 months end of next July. So I don't really have like a home base. I'm also like 23 and I just graduated college last May.
So the whole prepping thing, I think a lot of people blow that out of proportion. First off, if you don't have a community to begin with, how much water and beans and stuff you buy isn't that useful.
And let me just add real quick, in terms of what you need to stock up on, you know, for keeping your family safe. I'm thinking a couple Rhode Island Reds, some Brahmas, a couple Leghorns, chickens.
But anyway, so you're in an interesting situation because you're basically a nomad because you're moving every 6 months. And I would take full advantage of that and spend your time and resources developing skills that you can take anywhere. Because you're not going to have a farm. I don't have a farm right now. I live in a more of a city-ish house for work because I'm prioritizing that over like prepping. But I don't think it's a real big issue. I'd say spend the time and money on hard skills and then just have the bare minimum that you need. You know, every 6 months. You need weapons, having even FEMA's suggestions are actually really good. It's like have 2 weeks of water, have such and such amount of food to get through national disasters. I'd say go off of that and develop yourself. And in the future, look at prepping.
Alcohol.
Yeah. But like most people prepping and spending all their time doing it and they don't have a community, they're not in a good place. It's like it's kind of a waste of resources and time.
Booze. But maybe just some legit alcohol properly sealed and stored because, man, you don't want to stub your toe and have to cut your foot off.
One of the things that Lucas mentioned that I think is really important is the fact that FEMA's stuff is really you know, it's good to start with. It also is really easy to tell your friends, oh, this is just what FEMA recommends, yeah. And get, and people will stop giving you weird looks.
Because from the government.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're like, oh, if your friends or people that don't think like this, you know, get wind that you're quote unquote prepping, then you're going to be getting weird looks. There'll be jokes, whatever, all kinds of things that people say. If you say, well, I'm just doing the stuff that FEMA says, then those kind of remarks and stuff will end right away, because it's, oh, this is what the government recommends. This is what the authorities say. This is what you're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. So
I hope that's helpful. It is a weird situation to be in, but that's most Americans. I mean, 92% of the population lives in the city. You can't really prep in the city. Mm-hmm. The best you can do is develop hard skills, so if something happens in the future, you're valuable in a community in the future.
Well, you can prep in the city. If you do live in a city, here's what I recommend. You're going to want a penthouse suite with a helipad.
Yeah.
So maybe 30 stories up. You're going to want a entire floor dedicated to your arsenal and your food storage.
Oh, of course.
And then should shit hit the fan, you want to make sure you can carry enough in your private helicopter to escape the city before the hordes make it to your penthouse armory.
Yep.
Sounds I went like on a date plan. Once where we built bug out bags and like just got first aid kits and like not super hey. Intense ones, but it was nice.
How come you're not married nice. Yet?
I'm difficult. I'm a challenge, as they say.
Because that sounds like a keeper. That kind of guy. I know.
Well, technically, it was my idea, but I recommend it.
So you're the keeper, okay?
And that's why I'm not married. I can't marry myself. No, I'm just kidding.
I don't know, nowadays you probably
get the wrong state, apparently.
Well, yeah.
No, thank you. I would hate to marry myself. That sounds the most narcissistic thing of all time.
I think it's what Dylan's doing.
How is that for you, young Gramps?
Thank you. That's good. Some good advice, and I'll definitely do that. Thank you.
Awesome.
Thanks for calling in. Great.
Of course, ma'am. Cheers.
Was that all of our callers?
That is all of our callers.
All right.
I just want to shout out to the callers and to Brett. Thanks for keeping it concise. It definitely helps out. Yeah, sure.
Oh, we wrap up a little bit early. Do try to have some longer conversation. But to be honest, we were normally doing half an hour segments and they turn into hour segments.
Right.
So
nice.
Well, yeah. I guess we'll wrap things up. Lucas, it's been a blast for hanging out. I'm going to show you the arsenal.
Sweet.
It's not really an arsenal. I'm just kidding.
You should come see ours.
It's cool though.
Yours is going to be a real one. Mine's just like a closet, you know, but we'll go check it out.
That's all mine started.
I legitimately want to take you up on that offer.
Come on out. You know what's funny? I can legally bring stuff here. I can't bring a personal firearm. I can bring our belt-fed machine gun.
Totally.
Because it's a work gun. I could bring it, put it on this table for a show how to load and unload.
Not on YouTube.
It'd be legal. Yeah, it'd be fine. Because I have all the paperwork.
YouTube, on your YouTube channel, not on
YouTube only allows guns in a safety setting, like a gun store or on the range.
It will be very safe.
And no live streaming at all. You can't live stream guns at all on
Yes. So what's funny is I challenged that early on when they put the rules forward. I was like, well, I'm going to keep doing live streams in my armory. So they'd be in the background and stuff, and we were fine. As long as I didn't handle them.
Exactly. If you handle them is when. Yeah. So like this thing behind me, I know it's like not, it's actually not legally a gun.
Right. But YouTube will still be like, yeah, it's a gun.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Thanks for hanging out. It's been a blast.
Cheers.
We're going to be back tomorrow. We've got tomorrow on the Culture War, George Alexopoulos, G Prime 85. And the first thing I'm going to ask him is, why the fuck we're using Patreon, bro? I'm not kidding. I'm going to ask him that. All right, everybody. Thanks for hanging out. And we'll see you all tomorrow night.